Thank you, Larry. It's a wonderful opportunity. As you know, I love to preach the word. I do miss it. I've been retired for 5 years now, just turned 71 a few weeks ago. And I often go to Legion Manor and have a service every Thursday at a care home. And so having this opportunity this afternoon or this morning is wonderful. So thank you very, very much for that. It's my first Zoom preaching. I don't know how it's going to go. I have a little bit of French in me, and I like to move around. Those of you that have seen me in the pulpit before, but I'm up to it. It's exciting. And would you just join me all in a word of prayer? Sovereign and faithful Lord, I praise you this morning for a faith that teaches us to sing, to pray, to hope. And you are my song, my strength, my salvation. Linda and I in our devotions, Lord, this past week read that Johnny Erickson Tata once wrote, whether the day is grand or gloomy, every day is a great day to give praise to God. And that is so very, very true. And that's what we want to do. And so, Jesus, as a needy people, I ask as your word goes forth that you awaken our souls to behold the treasure that you are. Send forth your light, send forth your truth. Let them guide us to you, our joy and our delight. Amen. Back in 1976, it's a year that I remember fondly. Not only was I graduated from university and had my dream job in wildlife management, but I purchased my first new vehicle, not just any vehicle, but a Toyota Land Cruiser. In my eyes, much better than the prestigious Land Rover. And anybody who lives and works where there are wet roads and steep roads and snowy roads and slippery roads and rocky roads, muddy, whatever type of road that you might experience, should have a four-wheel drive, because all four wheels work to get you over something or out of something so you can go where others cannot. You can go on all terrain types, in all kinds of weather. And that feels good, like winning over an adversary. This morning, I want to have a word with you about Land Cruiser living or four-wheel drive faith. My prayer has been that God would strengthen each of you who are tuned in this morning and encourage you and grow your faith to a four-wheel drive level. Because according to Scripture, all Christians seeking godliness will go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. You find that in Acts 14 and 1 Timothy 3. Rabbi Zacharias used to say something profound. We are a soul that happens to have a body. And this pandemic has shown us once again that our society is more concerned with their bodies than with their soul or spirit. And with this message, I pray that your thinking will be properly directed. I pray that your soul grows today, because it is the soul that lives beyond the grave until we get a new body created for the new heaven and earth. The Apostle Paul in our text talks about some things that have gone on in his life, and trouble and hardship, we read, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword. It's quite a list, really, and some challenging terrain. And you and I know, especially during this COVID pandemic, that as we go through life, life presents some hard terrain. If you're on a rocky or slippery slope right now, it's covered in Paul's list. And let's examine carefully the response of someone who is living in spiritual four-wheel drive. Romans 8:37 again. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Our message this morning, our text this morning, intimates that Christians can live like super conquerors with Land Cruiser faith, winning over those things that often capsize most people. But how? How can you be an all-terrain, all-weather Christian, especially with the difficulties you are facing right now, or in the days, months, or years to come? because they will come. So let's scrutinize four truths that will help supersize our faith. Firstly, it sure helps being reminded that for those who love Jesus, God has an inexpressible plan for their lives, a plan that is beyond words, a perfect plan, a plan that brings order to the chaos and messiness of life that we see so much around us. Verse 28 is adamant in declaring, "We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." On Monday, I walked past and greeted three men, all beautifully created in God's image, two with Down syndrome. And my mind, as it often does, it raced to Amanda, the newly born and lovely daughter, also with Downs, of the man I mentored for 3 years, who had passed the church when I resigned. And then, as my mind often does, it drifted to Iceland, where 100% will abort once knowing they are carrying such a child. 100%, 98% in Denmark, 77% in France. On Tuesday, I read that in Britain, there have been nearly 9 million abortions performed since 1967, 4,000 per week, a truly shocking, sobering, mind-boggling, gut-wrenching statistic. It is nothing short of a silent genocide that has continued unabated in the half century since. So too in Canada, and has been accepted by society and culture as a normal part of healthcare and reproductive rights for all. Of course, the world is in the middle of COVID-19, and the death toll has been tragic. At the present time, I believe it's almost 600,000. However, the annual average death toll of unborn babies, astonishingly, exceeds 56 million, 23 times higher for the same period than those who have died from this coronavirus around the world, which people are really trying their utmost to prevent. And as Bible-believing Christians, these stats should make us hang our heads in shame and disbelief, stirring us to cry out in prayer and repentance to the Father of life. Our Judeo-Christian foundations have been incessantly, relentlessly eroded since the acceptance of evolutionary belief, which was working its insidious, dare I say, devilish influence even before Charles Darwin published his Origin of Species. Man, according to that doctrine, is simply another animal, having no purpose, no future destiny after death, with no God, no moral lawgiver, in other words, in the picture, and there is no basis for right or wrong. Why then should man note, or why then should man not behave as an animal in his own life towards others? All this darkness going through my mind this past week as I was thinking about what to share with you, and that darkness is only the tip of the mess and turmoil in our world today, a world that denies the existence of God. And suffering and groaning and a sense of our own ignorance is all around us. And we ask, is there any order to this apparent chaos? And Paul adamantly says yes in verse 28. And shares five facts. See first the certainty of the promise in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. This is an ironclad promise of God. The certainty of the promise. Notice fact two, the completeness of the promise. All things, not most things, not some things, not even almost all things. All things that are sweet or sorrowful, sinful, even satanic, all can be used to bring about good. We all know that a cake is made from several ingredients. Some ingredients by themselves are not helpful. Some even taste awful by themselves or if mixed in wrong proportions. To the men, I say this, how many of us have had to make another cake because the recipe called for a teaspoon of baking powder, not a tablespoon. And mixed in properly, things do not taste good. But when blended properly and given the right amounts, then good results come. We know that. A pharmacist takes powders and mixtures, and that may be deadly poisons by themselves, but he mixes them together and makes medicine. And many times, God does the same thing. He takes situations and problems that in themselves seem harmful, but he mixes them together in the crucible of his love and wisdom and makes medicine for our souls. Bible teacher Pastor Adrian Rogers, in his Legacy Bible, calls this, I love this, the chemistry of the cross. Notice fact three, the cause for verse 28's promise. How do all things work together for good? God works all things according to the counsel of his own will, Ephesians 1. As author David Cook writes, nothing can come our way that is not ultimately good for the health of our soul. God will be at work in everything we meet today and tomorrow so that it is for our good, making us like Jesus. Let's fourthly now look at the condition within the pledge of verse 28. This is not a promise for everyone. Who is it for? The text says those who love God. And I want you to listen carefully. Romans 8:28 also works in reverse. To those who do not love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all things work together for bad. Finally, fact five regarding verse 28. Notice the consequences of this verse's promise. Romans 8:29 tells us, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Do you know what good God is working all things toward? Not to make you healthy or wealthy or happy, but to make you like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus is the good for which God works. It is not our health, our comfort and wealth, but our godliness, which he promises to achieve. In other words, God's purpose is to build a family looking like Jesus in character. I'll always remember when I first began as a pastor, I heard someone share the story of a goldsmith of ancient times who would take all the ore with the gold in it, and he would heat it and heat it over a fire, and the dross, the impurities would rise. And he would keep doing that and removing that dross and removing that dross. And then when he could look into the cauldron and see his face, he knew that he had pure gold. And I ask you, would you not agree that God's plan for the believer is such a comforting truth? He's looking for that face of Christ in our lives, and he continues to work in our lives, bringing the good and bringing what we might call the bad to make us even better so that he can look into the cauldron of our lives and see the face of Christ. It's such a comforting truth. So no matter how the road or the weather looks, you trust in God, believing that the road you are on is part of his great plan for your life. It is our first truth from Romans 8, a deep understanding of which will help build four-wheel drive faith. It's Land Cruiser living, that for those who love Jesus, God has an inexpressible, unspeakable plan for their lives. Secondly, four-wheel drive faith involves counting on inexhaustible supplies, endless, limitless resources at our disposal. Romans 8:32, a favorite of mine, shouts out, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The one who loved you enough to send his son to die for you will never abandon you, no matter how it may feel right now. Your fuel tank may run out, but his is boundless. And when you cannot go on, his fuel will still be coming. Do you know what the fuel is called? grace. Linda and I both love waterfalls, big and small. A trip to Niagara Falls in 2014 was a dream come true. I love when taking a shower to picture myself under God's waterfall of kindness, his grace, his mercy, new, Jeremiah tells us every morning. Grace is G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Hallelujah. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is those 10 words in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Charles Wesley's most famous hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, out of the 6,000 he wrote, has a lovely stanza that I read once again in my devotions this past week. It begins, plenteous grace will with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Ephesians 5:18 commands us to be filled, topped up with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And Galatians 5:22 tells us why. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are amazing resources. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all you need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus in our text. Christ Jesus is also, what does that mean? He's all, like the Holy Spirit, interceding for us. An inexpressible, wonderful plan and inexhaustible supplies. The third truth to build four-wheel drive faith is this. Hanging on to the truth of an inextricable love. In other words, a love you can never lose. Romans 8:39, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. According to the eight verses that precede verse 39, this inseparable love is a love that brings an incredible sense of security. Four questions, four answers beautifully demonstrate this. Verse 31 and 32, is there any enemy who can effectively defeat true Christians or separate them from God's love? No, absolutely not, since God is for us. In giving his own son, God has shown us the extent, the magnitude of his support. Verse 33, is there any lawyer who can effectively make a charge against us? No, God is irrevocably, permanently, irreversibly, forever declared us to be right with him because of Jesus's performance on the cross on our behalf. Verse 34, is there any accuser who can effectively condemn us? No, Jesus, who is constantly at God's right hand, will always silence any accusation. Verses 35 to 38, is there anyone or any situation that can effectively separate us from God's love? Not at all. No. And Paul lists all the possibilities that Larry read for us earlier. Nothing whatsoever can separate us from the blessings of our salvation in Christ and from God's loving oversight in all these things that encompass salvation, which began with God in eternity past before the foundation of the world. What a magnificent truth, this inextricable, unlosable love of God. Theologian J.I. Packer identified as his favorite chapter in the Bible that which begins with, there is now no condemnation, and ends with, nor anything else will be able to separate us, the believers, from the love of God. Romans 8, no condemnation, no separation. That is momentous news. Others may not be willing or able to go with you on this road that God has chosen for you, but you will not travel 1 kilometer alone. Jesus will never forsake you. He is always there. I always remember the story of an Asian named Lo who had come to faith in Christ. And reading an old King James Bible, he fell in love with Matthew 20, verse 28, the Great Commission, especially the words at the very end of that particular passage that Jesus is encouraging us to go and make disciples by baptizing and going out there. And he ends and he says, "Lo, I am always with you, even unto the end of the age." You can see why that Asian, that man of Chinese descent, his name was Lo, how he loved that verse. Emmanuel, God with us, be strong and courageous, Moses told Joshua. Do not be afraid or terrified. In fact, God had told him the same words as Israel prepared to enter the promised land. For the Lord, your God, goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I once read about a father with a sick boy on his hands. And David was only about 3, and he was having some respiratory problems. And the little guy often woke up in the middle of the night. He was gurgling and finding it hard to breathe. That is scary at any age. And during that difficult time, the dad stepped up to do some serious daddying. And unknown to little David, he set up a camp just outside the boy's door. Whenever David would cry out, Dad was there in a jiffy, night after night to help. Excuse me. But little David was no dummy. He finally figured out how his dad was getting there so quickly. He was right outside the door. So David just got out of bed, went out in the hall and snuggled up next to his father. Guess what? That was the end of the fearful cries in the night. He had found the best place to be when you are scared. Big David, the psalmist, wrote about some big fears. And the man who would one day become king of Israel, now running for his life. King Saul wants David, his competition, dead. And the king himself is leading the effort to find David and have him killed. And David writes the 34th Psalm. He may well have been in some cave hiding for his life. We don't know. And that makes the words even more extraordinary. But before we look at his wounds, I want you to think about some of the uncertainties you are facing right now. Would you finish this sentence? One thing I am fearful of is that little David would have said, I won't be able to breathe. Big David might have said, I'm going to be found here and caught by the man who wants me dead. How about you? What are you anxious about right now? I'm afraid that. I'm anxious about. What is it? Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from some of my fears. No, from all of my fears. To make that your verse, put what you are afraid of in there. He delivered me from all my fears about. The question is, how can Big David have such peace and such life-threatening stress? He says, verse 5 of Psalm 37 to 34. Those who look to the Lord are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. David is saying, if you get close to Daddy, Abba Father, you can feel so much safer. He snuggled with his heavenly father and he was able to relax. And you and I can too. You can taste the Lord and his goodness in dark times more than any other time. You may have lost your focus because you have been concentrating on the mountain rather than on the mountain mover whose love for you is intense. As a pastor once said, God's love is unlosable. Could it be that you have been neglecting your snuggle time with your father? Perhaps you have noticed that the more stressful it gets, the more we tend to crowd out our time with our Heavenly Father. But that's when we need Him most. We are aware of God's closeness and power. how totally capable he is to handle this threat, you relax and you respond with peace instead of panic. Without that strong sense of God nearby, of his inseparable, inextricable love, you will be a slave to your fears. You know, just on Thursday, I heard on CBC Radio that even though the pandemic is getting more under control in Canada, Canadian anxiety is increasing. Not only that, but the drug overdoses are higher than ever. I'm so thankful for these three truths that I have been proclaiming to you this morning that give us power to overcome whatever the enemy sends our way. An inexpressible plan, inexhaustible supplies, and inextricable love. Three truths to build Land Cruiser four-wheel drive faith in all the chaos and messiness of our world. Last of all, Land Cruiser living or four-wheel drive faith involves never forgetting that you belong to an invincible Savior. Hallelujah. Verse 31 says it all. If God be for us, who can be against us? Jeremiah 20, verse 11 declares, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Psalm 56, verse 9 pronounces, God is for me. God is for me. Would you say that with me? God is for me. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Indeed, super conquerors. You see, whatever is bigger than you are, Jesus is bigger than it is. When Satan comes knocking at your door, and he will, ask Jesus, your invincible, unbeatable, indestructible Savior, to answer. I don't know what kind of terrain is ahead for you in 2020. Already it has been tough for many of us. But if you belong to Jesus, perhaps it is time that you began some more aggressive Land Cruiser living by shifting into four-wheel drive for the bumpy or maybe even hazardous roads ahead of you. After all, you have an unspeakable perfect plan mapped out for God for your life, and you have unlimited supplies for the journey. You have an unending love from your Creator that will see you through the dark times. And you have as well an unconquerable Savior who birthed you twice. Physically first at your creation, spiritually second at your redemption. All these truths that build four-wheel faith will help make us super conquerors, if I am to read verse 37 in Romans 8 rightly, as we apply them, of course, in our lives with God's help. It is because God first loved us and demonstrated or proved it with the crucifixion and resurrection. That's for spiritual four-wheel drive living is possible. Perhaps you are listening, and I'm thankful that you have tuned in. Perhaps you are not a Jesus follower. In other words, you have not yet begun to enjoy the abundant, adventuresome life God has for you. Again, I say thank you for listening in this morning. You're not here by accident. I leave you Matthew 6:33, the verse God used in my life to bring me to himself. Back in 1979, a verse that in context focused on worry, which I was profoundly at that time struggling with. The verse reads, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Do that. Follow it into four-wheel drive faith by turning to God in repentance, away from anything in your life that has priority over Jesus, and by having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in his work on the cross, in that work alone to get you into heaven. And then your journey will take you to heaven and away from hell and eternal separation from God. Listen, as scientist, philosopher, Jesus follower Blaise Pascal states, it's in your bulletin, God dwells in enough obscurity that if we don't want to find him, we won't. Equally, he dwells in enough light that if we want to find him, we will. For the Land Cruiser Christians, for the four-wheel drive Christians here this morning, there will be no road you will not be able to handle, no road where you cannot be more than a conqueror. Thank you again for this opportunity this morning to proclaim God's word. I missed it, and I just love preparing and seeing how God will use his word. I know it will not come back empty. Let's pray in closing. Thank you, loving Father, for the encouraging blessings of your word. Thank you. Thank you for watching over all seasons of our lives. Help us to not only trust in you and enjoy the life you have given us, but to persevere in our service and glorification of you. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.